The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home.
Hello, Northumberland County. This is Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk Show. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And Reality Realty is your local real estate forum where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and the communities within it. First thing this morning, I'd like to make an announcement. As you likely already noticed, our co-creator of Reality Realty and co-host of Reality Realty for our first full year, Dave Smith, has not been co-hosting for a while. About a month now. Pardon me. Another volunteer opportunity came up for... Pardon me, it can be one of those mornings, maybe. Another volunteer opportunity came up for Dave, and since his home inspection business is very busy, he had to make some room somewhere in his schedule. So, unfortunately for us, Reality Realty lost Dave as a co-host, and, you know, oddly enough, Dave really didn't want to make a big deal about this, about him leaving the show, even though maybe he's never given our listening audience a good reason to think he had a humble bone in his body. The truth is, there's a very humble and modest component to the complexity we know as Dave Smith, certified celebrity home inspector. Dave certainly brought an aspect of entertainment to this show, and he was never afraid to share his opinions. Dave, if you're listening, I'll certainly miss you as my assistant because it's always nice to have a trusted sidekick. And if Dave is in fact listening, I'm sure he's doing some talking right now. So the show does go on. And over the past few weeks, we've had some heavy hitters here on the show. We had last week as a guest, Dan Bulger, broker of record with Realty Executives Pentel Limited. We had mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant with the Mortgage Wellness Group, and this week is no different. We have a guest co-host. We have another heavy hitter. We have the mom of three boys, lover of animals, especially those animals who are weary and abandoned. We have the insightful real estate blogger, Aaron Toms, with us this morning. Aaron is also a sales representative with Northumberland Hills Realty, Inc. Welcome, Aaron, to the show this morning.
Thanks, Dale. It's always fun being here.
Good. Yeah, and you've been here how many times now? Is this the third or the fourth?
I believe it's just the third.
Third time. Mm-hmm. And, it's always been great having you join us. Aaron, and did I get that introduction pretty close to being right on the money?
Pretty close, yeah. I'm not going to really pick it apart too much right now. I'll wait till later.
Wait till after the show, okay. So a little unlike Dave, who would have made a little bit of a standoff right here on the air, you'll wait till after the show.
Yeah, I can hold back a little bit.
Yeah, well, thank you. So today's show, folks, is going to be about common conditions and terms that you will find in an agreement of purchase and sale, most often found in the Schedule A, which is near the last few pages of an agreement of purchase and sale. We'll also include some conditions that are unique to Northumberland County that you may see in these agreements. We'll do our regular snapshot of today's residential real estate market in Northumberland County and points to ponder. So first things first, let's take a look at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market in Northumberland County. So first of all, people always want to know, what kind of market are we in? Are we in a seller's market? Are we in a buyer's market? Is it a balanced market? So two of the key components that we need to figure out what the market are, what the market is, we need to know how many listings have sold over the past month. And in Northumberland County, there has been 86 listings, residential listings, sell over the past month on our board. The next thing we need to know is, what is the inventory today? How many listings are for sale today? And today, we have 350 residential listings for sale. Now, that may seem like a lot of listings, but when we look back about 5 months, we were at 447 listings. So we were almost 100 listings more than today. And even then, we thought we had low inventory. So when I take those two numbers and I figure out what an absorption rate is for today's numbers, we end up with a 25% absorption rate, which means it is a seller's market. It's been a seller's market for just about the entire 2015 year, and all that data comes to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. If we want to take a look at what are the average prices in our county, well, if I look back over 12 months, so we're capturing all the seasons, over the past 12 months, the average listing price has been $311,000, and those homes that sold have sold for, on average, $302,000. So people have been receiving approximately 97% of their asking price in a market time of 65 days. Now, if you're coming from the GTA and you're looking to buy a home and you ask the realtor, well, how long has this been on the market? And the realtor says, it's been on the market 35 days. Most people from the GTA will say, well, what is the matter with that house? Why hasn't it sold? Because they're used to a situation where maybe if it's the end of the first week or the second week, they're wondering what's the matter. Well, here in Northumberland County, for those who know the market, they can respond by saying, well, it's only 35 days. Our average time on market is 65. So nothing wrong with the home. It's just knowing the market. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home, you'll want to know this kind of information, but not the general information across the entire county, but you'll want to know this information that's specific to the area you're looking in, to the property type you're looking for, and the price band you're looking in. So talk to your local realtor. Your local realtor, who's a member of the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, they have access to this information and they understand this information. And this is the type of information that will help you to make your transaction more smooth and make sure that the deal has every advantage of being in your favor. Today's mortgage rates. The best 5-year fixed mortgage rate is still at 2.54%. And the best 5-year variable rate is at prime minus 0.6. And that is 2.10%. 2.10%. And today's mortgage rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant here in Northumberland County. Well, Aaron, points to ponder. You've been here before. You likely know points to ponder is one of my favorite segments. Were you aware of that?
I was. That's probably the one where you get to speak the most, right?
You're thinking of Dave.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And points to ponder just varies up week after week. It could be something trivial about the history of our community and how it's maybe affected real estate and what we have here today. It may be real estate in the news. And in fact, that's what I have here today, because the media has been full, Aaron, of the news of this threat of a municipal land transfer tax, which will be in addition to the existing provincial land transfer tax. Have you read that one, Aaron?
I have. I have read that multiple times, and there's a petition online to prevent it, which I have shared on my Facebook page.
On your Facebook page, where we can read your blogs.
Yep.
So go, Aaron, what Do you know off the top what your Facebook page?
You know what? I honestly don't.
So Google Aaron Tom's Real Estate.
Yes, it'll come up there for sure.
And look for and Facebook. Put Facebook in there and find her blog to see more about this threat of the municipal land transfer tax and a petition against it. So this land transfer tax is going to be new if it in fact turns out this way and it gets passed. This is something brought in by Kathleen Wynne and the Ontario Liberal government, our premier. And but it does exist right now. It's in Toronto right now because in the granted under the City of Toronto Act in 2006, the Toronto City Council approved a new municipal land transfer tax, and that actually took effect on February 1st, 2008, and it applied to purchases on all property in the City of Toronto, in addition to the Ontario land transfer tax. So people in Toronto, buying in Toronto, they've been used to this already. And if we take a look at an example, today, if you were buying, we'll take the number from Snapshot of the average sale price of a residential home in Northumberland County over the past year, which is $302,000. If we take that $302,000 and you were buying a home in Toronto for that, which that certainly isn't the average price of a Toronto home, but if we take that $302,000, they're paying the Ontario land transfer tax that we're all paying, so they would pay $3,005. But those folks in Toronto would also pay that municipal land transfer tax of an additional $2,745. So for a $302,000 home in Toronto today, your total land transfer taxes are $5,750 as opposed to $3,005. That's a bit of a difference, isn't it?
It's a huge difference on a home buyer with, you know, just the expensive moving alone, adding that on top of it, it could take buying right out as an option.
Yeah, not necessarily for established people with a lot of resources, but there's definitely a segment that will be affected.
Oh, the first time buyers, for sure.
Yeah, on an average price home, nearly $3,000. Some people are going to have to wait, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult to get ahead. It's a competitive life we live in. Difficult to get ahead. So if this in fact happens, we will have to thank Kathleen Wynne, Premier of Ontario. And Aaron, I read a number of articles on this. And according to the media, this would just be one of several election promises broken under her new term.
Surprise.
Yes, politics, right? politics. So, Aaron, let's move on to our main segment here today. Let's take a look at the common conditions and terms that we will write up for our buyers, that we'll analyze for our sellers, that we see in an agreement of purchase and sale, and typically in Schedule A of that agreement of purchase and sale. And the reason we're doing it here today is because a purchase and sale of a home definitely can cause stress. You're getting stress from the finances that are going on in this purchase, the actual physical move. Who likes to move?
I do love it.
Yeah, that's why I asked you, because yeah. I think Aaron does.
I'm always trying to move, but my husband is very settled and absolutely against moving.
Yeah, you like hands-on, you like to move, you actually like to do rentals, don't you?
I love it.
You've done tons of rentals, more than most. I know you've done more rentals than me. So anyways, yeah, the actual move is stressful. Leaving familiar surroundings and moving to the unknown. The whole negotiation process, the complicated contracts and forms and legal language, and all this leads to emotional times as well. So taking a look at these terms and conditions right now, even if you're not going to move, for another 4 or 5 years, you're absolutely not going to remember all this. But when you see it, when you think, Aaron, that something's going to come back and there's just going to be a little bit more of a familiarity?
Well, I'd say before I was licensed, mm-hmm. any transaction that I had in the past, I really put all my faith into my realtor because I had no clue what was being talked about. All I knew were the basics. I wanted to buy a house. This is what I was willing to pay for it. Can someone please put this together for me?
Right.
And then eventually, you know, several transactions later, more things started to stick. And mm-hmm. then thank God for my real estate license, because then things really came together. And now I really know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah. it is. You do put a lot of faith in your realtor. So, I mean, anything like this where you can become a little more familiar, it certainly does help mm-hmm. reduce the stress in the future. So, Aaron, let's start with the clause that we almost always see in every real estate transaction. What would that be?
So, paying the balance of the purchase price on completion. You know, it's kind of important. Seller would like to get the remainder of their money left from the deposit that you put on with your offer. I know I would.
Yeah. So if you're buying that average price residential home in Northumberland County for $302,000, and maybe there's a deposit as part, well, there would be a deposit as part of that agreement of purchase and sale. So if that was, say, a $7,000 deposit, there's $295,000 left. So that $7,000 isn't enough to do the purchase.
No. So it's important to have that pay the balance on completion so that $295,000 does yeah. get paid out. Yeah. Without that there's going to be a very upset seller.
Yeah. And it's $295,000 with adjustments mm-hmm. because at the lawyer's office, they're going to figure out if there's anything owing or anything that's been paid up in advance, and those adjustments will be made too. Interesting thing before we go on any further, Aaron, is just what... It basically, what components, what's the anatomy of a condition? I mean, a condition is the is something that is pivotal on whether that deal is going to be firmed up and close. A condition needs to know who's doing
or carrying out the condition, who's responsible for, you know, any costs associated with that mm-hmm. condition, when that condition date has to be met or mm-hmm. removed. So that then would bind that portion of the agreement, right?
Exactly. There has to be parameters there so that we can measure when that condition is met. And those are exactly the basics that we're going to be looking at in every condition. And then a term is basically just a statement about something that maybe people are aware of,
mm-hmm.
or things that it's a little looser. It's sometimes it's like a condition, but much looser.
It is significantly looser. Yeah. There won't be a date or a time that is required to be met. It's just assumed that, okay, this is in here and you're agreeing to it. You know.
So. Right. Yeah. Okay. It's nice not to have a mortgage financing condition, but really, how many people are able to buy real estate, all cash? Not too many people.
No, I think I've had two, and I've been licensed since 2008. So
this is an almost always condition we see.
Yes, almost always. I have had people who are using financing, though, think that because they were pre-approved, that they did not need this condition in their offer.
Exactly. And that... I mean, we've had shows on that because that is such a key thing, and it never hurts to bring that up. You're pre-approved by your lender, your bank, your credit union, your mortgage broker, mortgage agent. It really doesn't matter who. It matters how thorough that pre-approval was, doesn't it?
Well, and if the house is going to meet, you know, the approval as well, because, I mean, let's face it, I'd love to get $700,000 for my house, and maybe there's someone out there willing to pay that,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly is not worth that. So, yeah. You know, if someone's pre-approved for $700,000, is a lender going to give them the money for a house that's worth way less than half of that? Not likely. So
Exactly. Worst case scenario, you don't pay your mortgage and that lender does have to take over the home. They want to know they can get their money back and that they can get it back in a set amount of days as
Absolutely.
Well. They're not interested in those long sales. Yeah. So, Aaron, I'm just going to read a little bit about what this mortgage financing condition might be like. So, I mean, this is a typical condition of financing. It would read something like, this offer is conditional upon the buyer arranging. So, it once again, we're saying who needs to do the work, the buyer, arranging at the buyer's own expense. So, right away, we've caught who's doing it and who's paying for it. A new first charge mortgage satisfactory. So now it's what are they doing? They're arranging the mortgage. Satisfactory to the buyer in the buyer's sole and absolute discretion. So there's another condition. It's sort of a two-step condition here. One, they're arranging it. And two, they're being satisfied with it. Maybe they're hearing the mortgage rates on Reality Realty being 2.54% for a five-year fix. They go out and they find out that due to their credit or something else, that they only qualify for a 3.5, and maybe that's not acceptable to them. So, satisfactory to the buyer and the buyer's sole and absolute discretion, unless the buyer gives notice in writing, delivered to the seller personally, or in accordance with any other provisions for the delivery of such notice in this agreement of purchase and sale, or any schedule thereto, not later than, and then we put a time in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, typical time that you would think we need for financing right today?
Well, that's something that has, you know, changed significantly over the years, right? It used to be, you know, 5 business days. And now, you know, you're looking at 7 to 10 sometimes with some lenders needing more time. You know, and as for time of delivery, I typically will try and stretch it as long as I possibly can and usually leave it to midnight just in case something happens. You get stuck in traffic and you can't mm-hmm. get there. So,
yeah. So that's such an important thing is the timing on these conditions. And as you say, right now, I mean, Carol Ann, she tells me, Dale, stop giving those short condition dates because the lenders are taking longer. And she really would like to see a 10 full business day on that condition of financing. Otherwise, you're going back to your buyers and sellers asking for an amendment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody likes when that happens.
No.
No, not at all. Well, Aaron, it's just about break here, so we need to go to break.
Okay, so you've been listening to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk show. Join us after this break. We'll be talking about important conditions and terms that can be found in the agreement of purchase and sale.
Hi, I'm Ben Bird. Join me and Dave Glover on Mondays at 4 during the drive time for the Bird Report Live right here on Northumberland 89.7.
Starting your own business is an exciting time in your life, but are you aware of your legal responsibilities as a business owner? Jim McGrath specializes in business law and knows what needs to be done to protect you and your investment. Jim has been a lawyer for over 30 years and understands the law, so you don't have to. As a local resident and an entrepreneur himself, Jim McGrath is a trusted source in our community for business owners just like you. Call 905-373-1999 and let Jim McGrath give you the legal peace of mind you need. As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's 3 others doing what you do or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Hey, Trixie, your coat is looking a little rough.
Oh, I know, Rover. That's why I'm off to Grooming by Bree.
Wow, Trixie. Your hair, it's the cat's meow.
Oh, thanks, Rover. I went to Grooming by Bree. She's up on all the new grooming trends.
Grooming by Bree, 36 Covered Street in downtown Gilbert. Like us on Facebook, give us a call, 289-251-251. 7712.
Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM's Reality Realty, and I'm Dale Bryant, and my guest co-host today is Aaron Toms, real estate sales representative with Northumberland Hills Realty. Aaron, before the break, we started talking about the conditions we commonly find in an agreement of purchase and sale. We looked at the pay the balance condition, which is should always be there. We looked at the mortgage financing condition. What would be another very common condition that we'll find in an agreement of purchase and sale?
A home inspection condition is usually a pretty good one to have in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's, if Dave was here, he would be going on one of his rants right now, and rightfully so. There's a temptation, isn't there, especially if you're competing, that can be a condition that people will drop, isn't it?
It can be. It definitely can be. Usually it's also one of the ones that are dropped that people regret dropping after the fact. So,
yeah. And so, you're in competition. Do you ask for a home inspection and just say, listen, if I don't get that home inspection, then I'm not going to second guess myself because this is a big enough purchase. I really need to be confident in it. Or can you go through a home? And if Dave's listening, oh my goodness, I'm giving him lots of opportunity to be vocalizing. But do you, if you just have every good feeling about this and you know you're going to be competing, you've been looking at homes for months, and this one is hands and feet above anything you've seen in that price range, and you're going to be competing, what do you do?
Well, I've heard of, but never had anybody do this, actually do a home inspection on one of their visits to the property prior to putting in an offer. So then they don't need to do it on the offer time, and they feel that it strengthens their offer that way, which I feel is probably the smartest way to go about it, is to do it beforehand. So
yeah, but on a hot house, a well-priced house, you're not even going to have a competing offer then, because by the time you call in that home inspector, even if that home inspector comes in the very next day, and you have by that evening or the next morning, and to think a home inspector isn't doing anything else, they're just waiting for your home inspection, that's a little unreal. They're busy people, so you might not even get that done in time to even put in your offer.
It's possible, I suppose. Anything's possible, but people are doing it and have done it, so there must be a way.
Yeah.
I've never had any of my clients do it personally, so I don't really know, but I've had people bring through contractors and everything else. If they had a concern about a property, they'll bring in somebody specific to their concern, but and not do the home inspection. I've had people do that, but...
But just, I'm just testing some grounds here, but just to be extremely clear, Stephen Harper used to say something like that. Let's be clear. I in no way recommend not using a home inspector for a home inspection.
No, but as you probably are aware, that during a home inspector, they refer you to the appropriate, professional if something comes up, right?
Specialist.
Yeah.
So in no way do Aaron and I endorse buying a home without a home inspection.
No, fathers are not good home inspectors. I'm just going to say that right now because I have a father.
Okay, so there's half of our community getting angry at us right now.
Sorry.
First we started with Dave, and now we're all...
Unless your father is a home inspector.
Yeah, exactly. So... And now an interesting thing here, Aaron, we were looking at the home financing and we're talking about dates. We're talking about right now to be comfortable, 10 business days is 7 to 10 business days is likely a good number for that condition. What do we really need for a home inspection condition? Just that one alone, that standalone condition.
That one's usually much quicker, but I'd probably, before doing up the offer, contact your home inspector and see what they're looking at for time. Mm-hmm. It usually can be done much more quickly. Now, I try to keep all my condition dates the same, just so it's one piece of paper to firm everything up rather than going back and forth and, you know, getting people at work and bugging people through the day to get signatures. I try to keep all the dates the same. But if you're only doing a home inspection condition, then talk to your home inspector and he'll let you know what he needs.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And there are some women in our, even that do our community here in Northumberland County that are home inspectors. So we're looking at condition of financing, maybe 7 to 10 business days. Maybe we're looking at a home inspection to be 3-4 business days. We'll look at, well, there's home insurance to make sure you can get insurance. That's a common condition. That's a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we typically do exactly what you said, and we pick the longest condition date and have them all come due on that date. It's just practical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we got a home inspection, another inspection, and this is sort of controversial. It is, and it shouldn't be, and that's that final viewing between the time you firm up and the time you move in. There's a final viewing. I know in our Ontario Real Estate Association standard clauses, they have it written down as being an inspection. Mm-hmm. There's other realtors who will strike that out and put a viewing. But I also know from having trainers from the Ontario Real Estate Association, they say, you're doing that, but it's not changing a thing. Whether you have a viewing or you have it as inspection, if you see something wrong in that house, and maybe that leads to why in the world would you do this final viewing / inspection before the closing date, Aaron?
Well, one, and some personal experiences I've had with it, people have switched out the appliances, you know, or there's been some damage to the property. Specifically, you know, in a rental property, when tenants are leaving, they're not always happy to be leaving. So, you know, having that final walkthrough or viewing or inspection, whatever you want to call it, can definitely prevent some hang-ups after closing. It's much easier to deal with these issues before money has changed hands than it is after.
Absolutely. So if you can have that, if you have one or two viewings between the time you firm up and close, it's really good to save one of those. Ideally, just the day before it closes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is some major damage, if that is not the house that you thought you bought 30 days ago or 60 days ago when you had the agreement, then you need to call your lawyer, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to call your lawyer. Then the lawyers will be talking to each other. If it's thousands of dollars damage, they'll be estimating the damages, and there'll be a holdback, won't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that holdback will go towards fixing these damages. The deal will still go through, most likely, and it will just be a matter of not all the money will change hands at that time. So, other common conditions, Aaron, that you can think of that we will see?
Well, in our area, we see a lot of sale of buyer's property.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody having something to sell in order to be able to purchase the home they're putting the offer in on. So.
Yeah, and that, I mean, unless we're a first-time home buyer and we don't have a property to sell, or we're going to become multiple homeowners and we're buying a second property, chances are we're going to see this. Or unless, of course, we've already sold our home and now we need to quickly find a home.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the other case. What do you think? You're representing a seller, and you get an offer in with this sale of buyer's property. What are you talking about with your sellers?
Well, for me, I know some realtors get, or kind of, I don't want to say scared of these because they're not as strong as an offer without that condition. But at the end of the day, it's typically followed up by what we call an escape clause, which would then allow that seller to still continue to offer that property for sale to another potential buyer. I think for the most part, they're necessary. You know, if somebody has a house to sell, they're mm-hmm. not going to be able to make the purchase unless they're sells. They're not going to get the financing, you know, things like that. So it's not something that I would allow really to scare off my sellers if somebody brought us an offer mm-hmm. with this, because we see it all the time. It's unfortunately, it's a fact of life. You know, people would love to be able to buy without this, but we
yeah.
can't.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe I'll just read a bit of a typical sale buyer's property condition. So it would start off, this offer is conditional upon the sale of the buyer's property known as. So we're going to get an address in there, aren't we?
Yeah, so we'll be able to look up and see if we think their property is priced fairly, if it's even a sellable property, right?
Right. So is this property, the sale of this property, a dream?
Yeah. Or we'll have that advantage of knowing before we make the decision, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. And although sometimes we get this condition and the property's not even up for sale yet, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
And so then the story is important.
Absolutely.
So the realtor presenting this offer is going to say something like, well, Aaron, it's this and this address, and the buyer can have this home ready in 2 days. And this is a gorgeous home. They've done this. They've done that. It has this many bedrooms. It has this beautiful tiled bathroom, shower, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to price it fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we still can take a look at that home the last time it was sold and see maybe even some pictures of the last time it was sold.
Mm-hmm.
We can do a Google search. But yeah, if it's not up for sale, a little trickier to know.
A little trickier, yeah.
And so if I read on here, so you give an address. The buyer's property known as the address. Unless the buyer gives notice in writing delivered to the seller personally or in accordance with any other provisions for the delivery of the notice of this agreement of purchase and sale or any schedule thereto, not later than, and then there's a time and a date.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, we're going to have this home sold by.
And this is where all your hard work with all your market stats come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
If someone wants 120 days to sell a house that should only take 65,
yeah,
you might think twice about that.
Exactly. Exactly. And as you said, Aaron, an escape clause. If you're not putting one in there and you're accepting this, your seller's accepting this, I got to wonder how well you represented your seller not having that, because that's a long condition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they were having a sale of buyer's property condition, but it was only 10 business days,
yeah.
I don't know. Would you need an escape clause? Because now it's no longer than financing.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I'd bother with that. But, I mean, when it gets to like 6 weeks,
yeah.
you know, where you're taking a house, tying a house up
oh, yeah.
that's on the market, it's definitely needed.
Yeah, you're handcuffing that house from getting another sale if you don't have this escape clause. And this escape clause, and I've only reading the beginning of these clauses just to give an idea, but a standard sale of buyer's property escape clause would start off reading something like this: provided further that the seller may continue to offer the property for sale, and in the event the seller receives another offer satisfactory to the seller may notify the buyer personally or in accordance with any other provisions for the delivery of notice in this agreement of purchase and sale or any schedule thereto, the buyer shall have, and then you fill in how many hours from the giving of such notice to waive any and all conditions by notice in writing. So, basically, how is this working, Aaron, in just plain language?
So typically, for the number of hours, we see 48. So if you have a house that I'm purchasing, I have to sell my house. I've got it conditional on, you know, the typical financing, home inspection, sale of buyer's property with an escape clause in there. You receive another offer and you say, okay, hey, Aaron, guess what? You've got to firm up or get out.
Mm-hmm.
I only have those 2 days to remove all of my conditions. So I have to remove the condition of the sale of my home, my condition of financing, and get my home inspector in there ASAP or drop something, right? So,
right.
Or walk away.
Or maybe you had the home inspected before that.
Possibly.
Taking a chance that you're inspecting a home you may not ever be able to buy.
Yeah.
Because
that's possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of difficult calls to make when you're doing this. Well, Aaron, the time is flying by. I think we ought to have another commercial break and then finish off the show.
Sounds good. You've been listening to Reality Realty, Northumberland's 89.7 FM's local real estate talk show. Join us after this break, and we'll be talking about some more conditions and terms that are common to our Northumberland real estate market.
All right.
What we have in mind is breakfast in bed for $400,000.
Join Jim Glover Monday to Friday from 7 to 10 on the Northumberland Morning Show. Starting at 7:30 with the name game, 8:30 with the Northumberland Big Beat, at 9:15 your Lost Rock and Roll Classic, and at 9:25 the Chicken Man. Great memories, great music, and fun times on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
A visit to Hermit's Fine Foods is an unforgettable experience. Browse a gorgeous selection of products, including a gourmet emporium, artisanal cheeses, delectable chocolates, and an unrivaled selection of decorative and personal gifts. For the cook, the baker, the entertainer, the wine lover, the food lover, visit Hermit's Fine Foods and Gifts on Highway 28, just north of Port Hope, for a local experience you won't soon forget. 905-885-9250.
Under the B, 14. Under the N, 89.7.
Bingo!
If you want the chance to call that out, come on down to Hometown Bingo.
Play the $2 per strip special all day Saturday, plus any day at 12:30 and 3:30 in the afternoon, or 9:45 in the evening.
On Super Sundays, you can save $10 on any verifier package at Hometown Bingo. Hometown Bingo, where you can pay less and play more.
Division Street, just south of Elgin in Coburg.
Welcome back. This is Northumberland 89.7 Reality Realty. I'm Dale Bryant. Joining me as guest co-host this morning is Aaron Toms, local realtor and real estate blogger. Look up Aaron's Facebook page. Do a Google search.
I really should have found that when we were on the break, but I didn't even think.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were talking about other aspects, and but Google search for Aaron Toms Real Estate and Facebook, and you'll see her blogs, you'll see her link to the petition for the
which is also
municipal land transfer tax
available on CREA's website.
On CREA's website, mm-hmm. That's the Canadian Real Estate Association's website. So, Aaron, before the break, we were talking about some common conditions, common terms. Well, we haven't really gotten into terms yet. But let's get a little more specific now about some terms, some conditions we'll see more in Northumberland County than, say, the GTA, because we have rural property, we have farmland, we have recreational property around Rice Lake, and that being septic and well conditions. Mm-hmm. What can you say about those, Aaron?
Well, yeah. Potable water is, you know, mm-hmm. a very important thing. It's also very important to lenders. So having a water test showing that your drinking water is safe to consume is really important. So,
Absolutely. And if you don't get it, you just might not get you likely won't get your financing.
That's right.
And so that test, we typically, what do you see most often? Is it the buyer or seller taking the test?
Well, if I'm listing a property that's on a well, as a seller, we typically do one, but the buyer, I think, should always do their own after the fact, just so that they have for the peace of mind that they've done it themselves, they've done it properly, nobody has tinkered with it, toyed with it, or done anything unethical.
They saw where the water came from.
Exactly. So I think it's good as a seller to do one on a listing, so then you know. I mean, the tests are free through mm-hmm. the health unit, so you should, if you're on a well, be testing it, you know, several times a year anyhow. But just to know the status of your own well is good. And then I think as a buyer, we should be doing our own.
Mm-hmm. And takes about how long? You take a sample, you drop it off in Port Hope at the health office. And how long does that take?
Over the phone, you can find out they have an automated system. It's usually maybe 2 days you can get the answer. But then when to get the mailed in result, it's, you know, your typical snail mail. So about a week.
Right. And the other water condition can be, I mean, they vary. It can be a condition just saying that the seller represents and warrants to the best of the seller's knowledge, something like that the pump and all related equipment have been working during the time they've lived there. Or you can get conditions stating that the buyer's going to bring in somebody who will actually do a flow test and verify how many gallons a minute. I don't see that one happen very often, although
no.
I just had it happen to one of my properties 3 weeks ago.
Now, I could be wrong, but I've heard that they can actually be quite damaging to the person's well doing those ones. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe someone just didn't want to do that, and that's what they told
me. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure. But, I mean, all was well after after this particular test. And then septic systems. What really goes on with a condition on a septic system?
Well, as a buyer, you like to see it emptied before you take possession. We all know what's in septic systems, and I don't think we should have to pay to have everybody else's
waste
stuff removed.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that it's in good working order. The health unit, I believe, only has records on them from 1979 and up, if I'm remembering correctly. So you're not always going to get any documents on it.
On an older
septic system, which we see a lot of here. So,
but it is common to ask for that record.
It is common, yep.
And the records have just been moved from the health unit in Port Hope to the Northumberland County building here on Elgin Street.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah, so, and if you're looking for a record there, which I recently did, and they didn't have it, but we found it hard to believe they didn't have it because it was only an 8-year-old home. Somewhere in the middle, it got lost because the health unit did go into their archives and found it.
Okay.
But that's not the go-to place anymore. They've recently made a move on that. Okay, very specific to our area, Aaron, and that is an AECL letter. Atomic Energy Commission letter. Which actually they've went through a name change recently and calling themselves something slightly different. But basically, what is that?
It's a letter that will confirm whether or not the property you're meeting is safe. So whether or not it meets the criteria for, you know, it's a radiological status letter. So really, it's kind of an insurance in a way because it lets you know that what you're buying is safe. There's not very many communities around here where that's required, but probably should be. So
right. And it's been the issue with Port Hope and their low level radon activity. It's brought things to the forefront in the media and now every home in Port Hope, Ward 1, basically requires a letter. It's certainly best practice to get that letter. And I believe, Aaron, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a few residences even on the fringe in Ward 2 that would require a letter. Have you heard
about
that?
I do believe so, yes. Yeah. I think all Port Hope is required, whether it's Ward 1 or Ward 2, but I could be wrong also.
And it doesn't take long to get these letters. These letters are typically already on file. And if there isn't one on file, they're very good at getting somebody out and doing the test quickly. Another thing that ties in with this, Aaron, is that our local board has created a clause, a standard clause. They've put it up on our system. So us as realtors, we can grab this clause if we know that... If a Port Hope home is actually on the truck route for the cleanup of this remediation, and do you know much about that?
Well, I mean, if you're on that truck route, you're going to be disturbed. You know, like it's not going to be a pleasant spot to live for quite some time while the cleanup's taking place. And I think by this term that's in here, it outlines, you know, that what you're it's basically acknowledging you're aware of what's going to be taking place from, you know, such date to 2021 to what you're going to be living with.
And that's the completion date we have in there. I mean, would anybody bat an eye if it actually took longer?
No.
No. And so a condition like this, I mean, the standard one would read something like, the buyer acknowledges and agrees to accept that, one, the subject property is located on a designated transportation route as set out by the Port Hope Area Initiative. And then it further reads that to be completed by the end of 2001, and such transportation of contained waste will continue to be transported through the various designated truck routes, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's, if you read that, if you're buying something on a truck route, selling something on a truck route, that condition ought to be in there, because then nobody's coming back later and saying, hey, wasn't aware of that. Even, let's do our first term, Aaron. We've done all conditions. Even if the home is not on a truck route, a simple statement saying that the buyer is aware of the Port Hope Area Initiative.
Yeah, you'll typically see all parties are aware of the Port Hope Area Initiative on almost any agreement of purchase and sale to deal with Port Hope.
Just a statement, just to clear it up, because if anybody's, if a buyer is going through their agreement of purchase and sale and they say, ooh, what's that? What's that line there? I wasn't aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's time to have that talk. Hopefully the realtor's already had that.
Hopefully you're long past that talk.
Yes, long past that talk. But it is certainly, it's certainly a good safety factor. Now, these kind of conditions, basically you could say it's a due diligence condition.
Mm-hmm.
You're checking out to make sure the property is going to be right for you, affordable for you. Us as realtors, we can put in basically an umbrella.
A catch-all.
A catch-all umbrella condition. Call it a due diligence condition. Most of the time, Aaron, would you... it's not something we necessarily see in a residential deal,
no,
is it?
No, I don't typically use them. I could see them being handy if maybe somebody is buying a home that's actually commercial, wanting to turn it back into a home and needing to do, like, go to the municipality and do a bunch of legwork. A due diligence would become quite handy for that, rather than writing out, you know, 10 individual custom conditions to...
Exactly.
To do that, but I don't typically see it in a residential transaction.
No.
Vacant land, maybe.
Vacant land, that's another, because you have an idea, you maybe want to put a home on that. There's a lot of things to check out, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. And recreational property, too, especially if it's, like, waterfront and you want to put in a dock and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. There's a lot of questions you have to satisfy, so...
Yeah, there. You need to check with your municipality, because a lot will be a certain size, and they'll only allow you a percentage of that size for the footprint of your home.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to make sure that the home you want to put up, there's enough room to put it up.
And you may have to follow up with Oak Ridges Marine, Ganaraska Conservation Authority, that sort of stuff. There could be all kinds of things that you have to investigate. So having the due diligence condition in there allows you the room to do that with ease. And you never know, you might go to the GRCA and find out you need to go here, where you may never have known that when you're putting in the offer. So
And some things, I mean, if you negotiate and you talk to different bodies, some things you can appeal for an exception. My experience says not so much for any environmental body. You're not appealing for exceptions when there's an environmental concern. That has a ton of clout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's take a look here. We got the ACL letter. That's something very common here in our community. Just an awareness of the actual cleanup effort for this Port Hope Area Initiative. Other common clauses that we might see could be a lawyer's approval.
Yeah, especially if a representative is or if any a realtor is representing both parties,
mm-hmm.
that's something you probably want to see, so that each party has the right and the ability to get separate independent advice.
Exactly. Or if it's an executor,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes the executor likes lawyer's approval just so nobody is complaining in the future. And it's always a prudent thing. More eyes that look over something, the better, the safer. Insurance can be a good condition to have in there. And what would you say, Aaron, are the situations where you really want to have an insurance condition in that agreement of purchase and sale?
Well, I've had some homes that, you know, could be in danger of, I guess, being lost by the seller.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they've been defaulting on their mortgage, have they been defaulting on their insurance? And what happens if that house goes up in flames prior to completion?
Right. And any wood-burning appliance, you have a wood-burning appliance in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you should find out if that can be insured.
Aluminum wiring is a good one.
Yeah, biggie. Yeah. Find out, because some insurers just won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And some insurers will do it if
there's an electrical safety authority certificate.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, not all issues are deal killers. It's just you need the time. You need to be aware of it. You need the time to do your due diligence about it. So, Aaron, we're near the end of the show. I'm sure now people are becoming used to hearing you on the air. And hopefully they'll take a look at your Facebook blog site.
Yes, wherever that may be.
Whatever that may be. Maybe you could be more helpful, Aaron, in another aspect. How would people be able to get in contact with you if they'd like to?
Well, they can contact me direct on my cell phone, and that's 905-376-0246.
All right.
The best way to get me.
So, cell phone number is again?
905-376-0246.
All right. So, if you have any real estate requirements, any questions for Aaron, that is how to get in touch with her. Well, Aaron, I thank you very much for joining me, for actually not just being a guest, but being a guest co-host. And I really appreciate your perspective here. And your insight into the industry. And if you have any questions or comments about today's show or pertaining to anything real estate, feel free to contact me by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca or call into the station at 905-372-2391. And don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant. I'm an active real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. And join us again next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.